All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, and I want you to turn to a couple of passages. I will start back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. All right, let's begin. Let's go down to verse 35. Verse 35. All right, so God is speaking here, and the Lord says that to me belongeth what? Vengeance. Now, that means that vengeance does not belong to you. We all right with that? That means that seeking vengeance against someone is something that we should not even think about, because vengeance belongs to God. God will take care of all the injustices that we have against us. All right, so very clearly, God says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted? Now I'm going to stop reading right there. And keep verse 35 in your mind and go over now to the New Testament, to the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now, Paul here is just giving some little reminders to the believers there in the church on how they ought to live for the Lord. And he says some amazing things. For example, in verse 9, he says, let love be without dissimulation. Now, what's dissimulation? Well, that's hypocrisy. So he says here, let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, don't tell folks you love them when you don't. All right? Don't lie to people, all right? Just realize that we are to love everyone. We're not to seek vengeance, all right? But so many people just never learn that point about life. Oh, we'd all be so much happier if we just let God take care of our issues. We really would. Then in verse 10, he says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Boy, there's another gem, isn't it? All right, then look down, please, to verse 15. He says, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Man, that's a slam right in the old solar plexus, isn't it? Be not wise in your own conceits. Now watch this. Recompense to no man evil for evil. You know, somebody does us wrong and we say, I don't get mad, I get even. I'm going to get them back. They're going to pay. All right? So Paul's saying, don't do that. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. In verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now that must mean that there are some folks, no matter how hard you try, you're just not going to be able to get along with them. All right? You know, God made us all different, didn't he? And I'm glad. I'm glad everybody's not wearing this tie right here. I'm glad everybody's not wearing this. I'd like to put it on you and pull it real tight. In Christian love, of course. But the point is, folks, we're all different. So we ought to learn to love one another. You've heard me say that we are God's army and we could conquer the world for the Lord Jesus Christ if we don't kill each other first. True, huh? He said, if it be possible. So there's some folks, it's just not going to be possible. But you don't be a hypocrite about it. You try to be nice. You try to be of the same mind. But look at verse 19 now. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, we just read that over here in Deuteronomy, didn't we? Avenge not yourselves, he said, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So who does vengeance belong to? It belongs to God. It's not ours. We're not to seek vengeance. God does not say, well, in your case, I'm going to let you seek vengeance. I mean, you really got done wrong. No, God doesn't do that. God says, vengeance is mine. I'll take care of so-and-so. I'll handle so-and-so. Folks, I'll be honest with you. I think that we are the worst enemies of our own selves sometimes. We're our own worst enemies. All right, turn now to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. All right, Matthew's gospel and chapter 5. And I want to show you what the Lord Jesus says about all of this. All right, so Matthew, chapter 5, this is the Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord Jesus is giving that wonderful sermon to the Jews, to everyone who gathered to hear. And in verse 38, the Lord Jesus says these words, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now, I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. Is vengeance really sweet? Is vengeance really sweet? The Lord said, God said, vengeance is mine. But that's not what we say, is it? No, we say that we're going to get even no matter what. Nobody's going to treat me like that. I mean, there is not a single person in this room who does not need this message tonight. And if you don't need it right now, you probably are going to need it pretty soon. And if not pretty soon, you're going to need it in a couple of weeks. And if you don't need it in a couple of weeks, you are almost guaranteed to need it a couple of months from now. You see, this is something that the devil fights tooth and nail with each and every one of us. And God says, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." So I want you to listen carefully tonight, and I want you to learn what the Lord Jesus is teaching us in this passage. In another scripture, the Lord Jesus said, "Love them that hate you. Love them that hate you." We say, "Well, I'm going to get back at them or him or her if it kills me." And you know, there's been several instances throughout time where that's exactly what happened. It killed them trying to get even. Let the Lord take care of your problems. Jesus said, "Pray for them that despitefully use you." But we say, "I am going to get even." Paul said, "Render not evil for evil." But we say, "I don't get mad, I get even." Paul said that vengeance belongs to God. And God said in Deuteronomy 32:35, "Vengeance is mine." We say, no, "I am going to make you pay." And we call it sweet revenge. But folks, I submit to you tonight that there is absolutely nothing sweet about revenge. There is nothing at all sweet about it. As a matter of fact, in my opinion, from what I have learned and studied from the Bible, vengeance and the seeking of vengeance is just about as wicked a sin as any believer can commit against God. It's horrible for us to step over into God's realm and seek vengeance for something done to us. I think it is the pinnacle of carnality to have an attitude that seeks vengeance against others. I wonder how many precious souls are going to hell because churches all over the place are filled with people who were wronged by someone else in the church, whether intentional or unintentional. But they were wronged by someone else in the church, and then the devil just literally fills them with a bad spirit and with a bitter heart. And then instead of seeking to win souls and see people saved and serving the Lord, these folks spend their time living a defeated and broken Christian life. How many Christians, instead of seeking souls, are saying, "Well, I'm going to get even with them. I want my sweet revenge." But folks, I'm telling you, vengeance is not sweet. It's just not sweet. And I have seen so many believers in the 47 years that I have been in the pastorate. I have seen so many believers get so angry on the inside because they were wronged, and they are seeking to get the vengeance on that, and it's not your place to get the vengeance. God will take care of the situation. Cain asked God one day, "Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper?" You remember that? Genesis chapter 4. Can I answer that question for you? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are your brother's keeper. And dear friend, there, make no mistake about it, the answer to that question is yes. And you have one of the most precious commodities found anywhere on this planet in your brother or sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the greatest thing you have. They're better than your money. They're better than your house. They're better than anything you have. Your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so we ought to do all we can to sustain those relationships. Oh, if one of them does you wrong, let God take care of it. You don't have to spend your life in bitterness and anger and being upset trying to seek vengeance, because you're never going to get it. It doesn't belong to you. And so you're not going to get it. You can mark that down. Now, just a couple of thoughts. First of all, let's ask the question, is vengeance really sweet? Well, this is what the world thinks, isn't it? The world thinks that vengeance is sweet. I want you to know that vengeance is not sweet. And I also want you to know that there is not one instance in the entire Bible to prove otherwise. It's not sweet, never has been sweet, and it never will be sweet. And there is not one verse of Scripture anywhere from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22:21, not one verse that teaches that vengeance is sweet. And the reason is because the Bible is truth. And the truth is, vengeance is not sweet. It's just that simple. Now, let's go back and for a moment, turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And let me show you a couple of places here where somebody teaches us how to handle the enemies that we make. All right, so 1 Samuel, all right, that's the one with one mark in front of it, not two. All right, I looked at the verse and I said, where'd you go? I was in 2 Samuel 18. And it won't work if I read 2 Samuel 18. All right, look please at 1 Samuel 18. And go down to, let's go down to verse 5. It says, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now, what kind of reaction did that have upon Saul? Well, King Saul, look at verse 8. And Saul was very wroth. He was angry, and the song displeased him. It displeased him. It made him chafe. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. Well, you know, we probably, they should, I think Saul should have listened a little bit better. They ascribed to Saul 1,000. Not thousands, 1,000. And David, 10,000s, plural. But Saul was trying to smooth it over a little bit, trying to put a good spin on it, you know. He's probably working for CBS about that time. And it says that he was angry. And look, read on. It says, and what can he have more but the kingdom? Well, that probably shouldn't have been asked, because that's eventually what he got. Eventually. All right, so what reaction did it have? Look at verse 9. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Every time he saw him, he gave him an ugly look. He eyed him. He gave him that look that probably made David uncomfortable. And he was wroth. He was very wroth. All right, so in verse 9, David's anger was Saul's anger was kindled against David. Now remember that Saul was filled with jealousy against David, and that started a cycle of Saul trying to kill David. Saul would call for David to come in and play music, play his harp, and calm Saul down. And what happened was David had to watch him carefully, because the more David played, the angrier Saul got, and he picked up his javelin and threw it at him and stuck it in the wall, trying to kill David. I don't think Saul was a bad spear thrower. I just think David was an agile dodger. He got out of the way. And Saul could not get the job done. But the women said, David has slain his tens of thousands. In other words, he slew Goliath. And when they came back into town, all the ladies came out to sing about Saul and his thousands, but David and his tens of thousands. And verse 9 again, Saul eyed David from that day forward. And folks, the rest of Saul's days, now understand this, the rest of King Saul's days were consumed with one thing, and one thing only, and that was killing David. That's all he wanted to do. And you'll remember God had told Jesse through Samuel, God told Samuel told Jesse, David's father, that David would one day be the king of Israel. And from this point until David was anointed king was a 10-year period. And Saul hounded David that entire 10 years. How would you have held up under that? How about if every time you heard a noise, you jumped because it could be one of Saul's men with a sword drawn, ready to take your life? I mean, that's what David had to contend with. Is vengeance really sweet? Well, folks, listen, Saul eyed David from that day forward, and the rest of Saul's days were awful, and he wasted 10 long years of his life trying to kill David, and Saul died a horrible, tragic, somewhat early death which I think came as a result of his desire for vengeance against David. Sweet? Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Matter of fact, Saul died a bitter, sad, lonely, defeated life. Think of another one here. Is vengeance sweet? Well, I mean, just stop and think for a moment about Cain and Abel. Is vengeance sweet? You know the story here. Let's go back to Genesis 4 for just a moment. And let me read you the verses pertaining to this issue. Look at at Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But to Cain and to his offering, he, God, had not respect. And Cain was very what? Oh, that's the same thing that God said about King Saul, isn't it? Exact same words. So Cain was wroth. Cain was angry. And we're told that his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you mad? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So here is God reminding Cain that his anger towards his brother was false anger. You're just wasting emotion here. You have nothing to be upset at your brother for, nothing at all. I mean, your brother brought the right sacrifice. What hinders you from going and getting a lamb and bringing it to offer it a sacrifice? But you see, he got his feelings hurt. Bless him heart. Yeah, that's the way we are, isn't it? That's the way we are. Is vengeance sweet? Ask Cain about that. Ask Cain. Notice in verse 5, we read these words. It says, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. My, my, my. He got that, what was that patch the pirate said that kids would get? The poochy lip disease. Yeah, the poochy lip disease. You know, my grandfather used to call it the hang dog look. Yeah, it took me forever to figure that one out. But I figured it out when I saw that old beagle we had finally come back after 2 weeks, and he had been bitten by a rattlesnake or a copperhead. One of the poisonous snakes, venomous snakes, bit him on the snout. And he didn't come home for about 2 weeks. And we got up one morning and went outside, and there he was. His head was swollen about that big. Oh, it was an awful sight. And we nursed him back to health. My grandfather took aspirin and kind of dissolved it in a teaspoon and very gently lifted those old swollen jowls and poured it down his throat. He didn't even roll over. He didn't even budge. He was hurting so bad. And finally, when that dog got to where it could get up, it walked around not like the proud beagle that it was, but it walked around so crestfallen, you'd have thought the thing was depressed. Wasn't depressed at all, just couldn't hold its swollen head up. But that was a hangdog look, my grandfather called it. He's looking at that dog, he's got that hangdog look. And so whenever one of us would get the hangdog look, he'd point that out to us. You need to straighten up your attitude, boy. You got that hangdog look. And we knew what that meant. You better straighten up. He's watching. Knew exactly what that meant. Well, what happened? Well, God banished Cain. You remember the story. And the rest of his life, he is running from friends and family who were trying to kill him. Is vengeance sweet? I don't think so. Doesn't sound to me like it is. Doesn't sound to me like it is. In verse 10, the Bible says, "And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Well, bless your little heart. Should have thought of that before you killed your brother. You know? You should have thought of that before you took vengeance into your own hands. And God's vengeance ended up being on Cain. And the simple truth of the matter is, folks, vengeance is not sweet. It's quite bitter. It's quite bitter. It never gives you the comfort or the satisfaction that you think it's going to give you. It never gives you the joy that you think you deserve. Man, you listen to these commercials on TV today, and everything's about what you and I deserve. You know what we deserve? Hell. That's what we deserve. We deserve to be cast head first into hell. That's what we deserve. But yet what we see here is, you know, you need to call this lawyer so you can get the benefits you deserve. Mercy. Well, God gives you what you deserve, either in blessings or in chastisement, but God gives what we deserve. Why? Because vengeance belongs to God. You say, "But Pastor, I was wronged. I have to retaliate. I have to get revenge." No, you don't. No, you don't. You say, "But Pastor, I can't be treated like this and let them get away with it." Hey, listen, you may have been done wrongly. I'm not going to argue that point with you, but you need to realize this fact, and it's a Bible fact. Vengeance does not belong to you. Vengeance belongs to God Almighty. And let God handle it. Let God handle it. You see, what you're doing when you seek vengeance is putting yourself in the place of God. And that's why vengeance, your vengeance, is never going to work. It'll never work because you're not God. You say, "Well, what are we supposed to do?" Well, Jesus said, "Love your enemies." Well, there's a novel thought. Love your enemies. Amen. You pray for them, and you ask God to bless them and help them. But let me say secondly, folks, all right? I said first that vengeance, I asked the question, is vengeance really sweet? But now, secondly, God's way is the sweet way. God's way is the sweet way. Let's go back now to the text verse in the Gospel of Matthew, and notice what the Lord Jesus says here. In this great Sermon on the Mount, he says that vengeance is God's. Let God give the vengeance. And he says, without apology, he says, without splitting hairs, he says, without compromise, very simply, that it's been said, an eye for an eye. Well, It's been said that's what the law said, but we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace today. And Jesus said that whosoever, verse 39, shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. In other words, don't retaliate. Don't fight your Christian brother. You say, but you don't know what he said. I don't care what he said. I care what God says. And God says that we are to love those that despitefully use us. Pray for those that despitefully use us. Folks, it's just as simple as it can be. God will handle our problems. He's God. Let's let him do it. All right? Let's let him do it. Now, the Lord Jesus gives us the way to handle this issue. Now, let me show you something. Let me show you something. You say, Pastor, are you advocating passivism? No, sir, I am not advocating passivism. Not at all. Not at all. You say, well, if I walk up and bop you on the nose, what are you going to do? Duck. I'm going to duck is what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to stick Mike Bruner on you. So you don't want to mess with me. All right? No, I'm not teaching passivity. All right? But let me show you what the Lord, and neither is the Lord Jesus. Let me show you what I mean. All right? Are you in verse 39 of Matthew 5? All right, now watch this. He said, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. All right? Now, let me illustrate that. Stand up, brother. Nah, it's not going to hurt.
I know it is.
This is not going to hurt.
Christian love, right?
Yes, sir. All right, stand right there and face me. Now watch. Watch. Look at your Bible now. Let's read all the words. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy, what? Right cheek, turn to him the other also. So we got the right, and we've got the left. All right, everybody follow me so far? Now watch. If I walk up, now we all know that the dominant hand in the world is the right hand. All right, I'm not short and left-handed people because I'm ambidextrous. I do a lot of things left-handed, but also do a lot of things right-handed. So I'm not slighting anybody here, so please don't write me an email. All right, so I'm standing here and I'm going to hit Pastor Holbrook in the right cheek. Now, which one's your right cheek? Yeah. Now, if I swing at him, naturally, what am I going to do? Hit him in what?
Left.
The left cheek. Folks, the Lord Jesus is not saying, hey, Christian, if somebody walks up to you and smacks you in the right cheek, then turn the other and say, here, hit this one too. That's not what he's saying. I mean, we're not to stand there and let people beat us up just because we are Christians. We bleed like everybody else. Our nose will break just like anybody else's nose will break. Well, you say, well, then, Pastor, what's Jesus saying? He is talking about that brother that smites you from behind your back. You with me? He's the guy that is sneaking up on you. He's the guy that's over here with a group of people and he is tearing you apart. and making you look bad. He's lying about you. He's doing all this stuff. And the Lord Jesus said, now watch, if he comes up and hits you, now I'm hitting him in the right cheek. Yes, sir. Then the Lord Jesus said, you turn the other one to him. That's the person that is talking about you behind your back, gossiping about you. I know nobody here would ever do that, but gossiping about you, that is the person who is very stealthily trying to harm you and hurt you. And he's not going to walk up and criticize you to your face. What he's going to do is go over here and get him a little group that'll listen to him and just run you down as far as he can get you and then stomp you when you're down. And that's the guy that's going to sneak up behind you. He's going to sneak up behind you. And Jesus said, when he takes and hits you in the right cheek with a dominant hand, you turn and give him the other one. But now if somebody walks up and he says, you're a Christian? Yeah, well, I'm gonna womp you one here. All right, W-H-O-M-P, womp. All right, yeah. My sixth grade teacher taught me that word. West Virginia word, right to the hilt. All right, watch. Walk up. Well, I'm not going to let him smack me in the face. I'm watching him. I'm not going to let him smack me in the face. But if he hates me so much, he's over here running his mouth about me and tearing me down and ripping me apart. He can't stand it that the Lord has been good to me. He can't stand it. He can't stand it that the Lord is using Brother Holbrook. So he's over here tearing him down, and he's sneaking up behind him, and he's sneaking up behind him until then he goes, wham, and hits him. And Jesus said, in that case, you turn around and you give him the other cheek as well. You see what the Lord's saying? He's not telling you stand there. Thank you. He's not telling you stand there and let someone beat the tar out of you. That's not what he's saying at all. But what he is saying is, I'm going to be very careful, and I'm going to use the word so that you see the picture of what I'm saying here. And that's what he did. He showed the picture. The dominant hand is the right hand. And hit on the left cheek or on the right cheek, you got to come up behind him to do that. You got to come up behind him. And that's the sneak. All right? That's the gossiper. That's the bitter person. That's the jealous person. You see, that's that person. Just wearing people out. Then they'll come to your face and smile and make out like everything's grand and glorious between you, when on the inside he hates the ground you stand on. Isn't that something? Boy, we need to be careful about seeking that which does not belong to us. In other words, folks, listen. Don't fight back. Well, Pastor, you don't know what they said. No, I don't. I don't want to know. I really don't. But I know that a lot of people, they get offended, they get hurt, and that's going to happen. I mean, that's life. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get offended as you go through life. You just are. I wish that I could just wave a magic wand and all our hurts would all go away. But that's life. So you got a choice to make. You're going to be miserable, or are you going to serve the Lord? Are you going to be miserable and pout and get your little group over in the corner? You going to do that, or are you going to serve the Lord? Just say, well, you know, Lord, you handle that, would you please? Folks, I've tried my best through the years to practice this. And I'm going to be honest with you. There are people that have, at the time, done things, and time will go by. I didn't seek vengeance. I did not go after them. I would never do that. Never. And I've just kind of given it over to the Lord and said, Lord, would you take care of that? And you know, if you were to nail me down tonight, I don't even remember what they did because I don't sit around and think about it. If I did, I'd be in therapy hour upon hour every single day. You know, what you dwell on, that's what you are. That's what you I've said to you before, you are what you have been becoming. And that's true, isn't it? So may God help us. Now, I've come to the conclusion, you know, I shouldn't tell this because the school kids they'll freak out. When I sit in my office, I can hear everything that goes on outside. Everything. Did I emphasize everything? There have been times I have gotten up and went to the window and I thought to myself, well, you little skunk, you, look at you. I had such a high opinion of you and now you just ruined it for me. Because I hear it. If I sat around and dwelled on that, I'd be watching that kid. I'd be after that kid. I can't do that. That's not my job. We'll just let the Lord take care of that little guy. And to be honest with you, there's been several this year, but I don't remember one of them. I really don't remember one of them. Because I don't sit around and dwell on that stuff. You remember falling in love with your spouse? Come on. Go all the way back there. Come on. You remember that? That was a long way, wasn't it? But you remember how that happened? You fell in love with them because you spent time with them. You got to know them. You talked for hours on end on the telephone. How many of you had a party line? Did you have a party line? Yeah, many of you did, didn't you? The neighbor come over and tell your mother, I can never get that phone in the evening. That daughter of yours, that son of yours, is always on the phone talking to some girl. Yeah. We had a party line, and we didn't ask for it. They just gave it to us. And my dad picked up the phone one day, and our neighbor was just yakking away. And Dad held the phone up and said, I cannot escape. I just cannot escape. I come in the house to get away from all that yakking. And the phone rings, I pick it up, and it's her yakking. I can't get away from it. Well, party lines were awful, weren't they? But here it is, folks. You got to know them, and you loved them for who they were. All right? And we're to love our brother that way. We're to love our brother that way. I love fellowship at church. I love it. I love it. I would like to have fellowship after the night service every Sunday night. Be fine with me. But I know that things would get old and folks would just not come anymore to that fellowship. But I said, I've sat in my office and I've heard this year several times. I hate her. Wait a minute. You hate her? I mean, I'm talking fifth graders, sixth graders, fourth graders, third graders, outside my office waiting on mom to pick them up from school. Wait a minute. You hate her? You surely don't mean that. And if I'm ever out there and I hear one of them say that, I'm going to go to them and look them square in the eye and say, stop for a minute. Did you hear what you just said? Oh, I hate you. Oh, my. That just makes my blood boil. You hate somebody? No, you don't. The only one you ought to hate is the devil. God will take care of everything else. Does that make sense to you tonight, church? Let's put that to practice. All right? Let's bow our heads, please. Our Heavenly Father, I pray now you'll speak to hearts tonight. We're so thankful for all these wonderful verses that tell us that vengeance is yours. And we are not to seek vengeance. That's not our role. It doesn't belong to us. And when we are seeking vengeance, we're stepping over into a role that is only for you. So Father, help us to just learn to love. Help us to learn to pray for those that we have disagreements with and those that we have problems with. Father, just give us wisdom to know how to handle life's adversities. And I pray the Holy Spirit will touch our hearts tonight and encourage us in the Lord. Do a real work in our hearts tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.